Hey everybody, it's your girl Nikki Washington. Welcome to another edition of Let Me Find Out, a witty take on life and culture. Listen, I'm excited that y'all are here to close out this series finale, if you will, on relationships. Now, if you're just now tuning in, I'm gonna need you to go ahead and run it back, listen to a few episodes before this so you can get context to what we are talking about. If you are not just tuning in, thank you so much for rocking with me through this series. It's been fun. Your feedback has been invaluable. I'm so glad that so many people have been blessed by what has been shared here. The interesting thing about doing a podcast, particularly in bite-sized chunks, is we don't always get to fully flesh out, right, what it looks like. So we really give like an overarching view. It's never a really true deep dive. It's never like this deep theological, you know, dissertation. It's never like this, you know, exhaustive study. It really is just to hit a couple points so that you will become curious enough to do some due diligence on your own. So my prayer and my hope is that during this series, it has caused you to want to be curious enough to either approve or dispel what you have heard here and make some decisions for yourself on the type of quality of relationships that you want going forward. Because why? Relationships matter. They're important. No man is an island. No man is a self-contained power source. We were all made for fellowship, for sonship, and to really just commune with each other. So my hope is that the outcome of you listening to this series is that you learn how to commune in a healthy way. And let the church say amen. Listen, if you're listening to this show for the first time, you're probably like, what you talking about? So again, I'm gonna need you to run it back, listen to the whole series so you can get this context. If you are my day one season five ride or die, thank you again, like I said, for contributing. Voidive, if you're seasoned or just got here, you can do me a favor by liking, subscribing, sharing. Go ahead and give me a rating. Let me know that it's real. You know, I love the words. I love when you hit me with the DM saying, Nikki, I like. But you know what I like even more than that? Some action. Words are nice. Words can be flowery. Put some feet to them words, right? How do we do that? Actually type out a rating. You know what I'm saying? Actually tag, you know. Tag a little something for your girl. I get literally every week we have hundreds of people listen to this show, but for whatever reason, it don't always translate when it comes to like actually posting. So if you would do your girl a solid Christmas early, if you will, and go ahead and rate and comment, subscribe, all that stuff. Because what this does, y'all, it helps us to be found by people who might not find us otherwise. So thank you in advance for contributing to the cause. I surely do appreciate it. So now that I got that out of the way, also feel free to connect with me on social media. My handle is Nick, N-I-K-K, Washington on Instagram, and then Nick Wash on TikTok. Holla at your girl. Connect with me. Let me know you found me via the podcast and let's have a good time. So yeah, I think that's all the housekeeping. So let's get right into it. If you saw the title of the show, you're like, what? Wait a minute. I think we skipped a step, Nikki, because we were going through the progression of, you know, when you meet someone, when you court, how do you know if you should really enter into trying to, you know, talk to someone? What are the flags you should look for, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people naturally, even myself to some degree, thought the natural progression would be talking about a committed relationship or marriage and what that looks like and how to have a healthy marriage and all that stuff. But I decided to pump brakes. Why? Because a couple of things. Marriage is a really God-informed decision. I don't believe anybody should be entering into marriage without the instruction of the Lord. And if God has instructed a thing, then I dare not say my two cents. If you tell me God says something, that's it. I ain't questioning it, right? With that being said, I also believe that if you are thinking about marriage or entertaining marriage, I have a responsibility to direct you to your leadership, to your ministerial staff, to premarital counseling, which I am a huge advocate for. If that is your bag. So I'm not going to give a whole premarital counseling session on this here podcast, but I will say if you are at the point in relationships that you are entertaining, if you will, the thought of marriage, even if you're not committed to marriage. I remember I had a friend who fully advocated for having premarital counseling before you ever were ever even engaged, because his theory was that you could walk away a lot easier when you get into premarital counseling and discover that person is not for you, as opposed to announcing an engagement and then going into counseling. And I actually think that's a brilliant idea, because at least you can walk away with your dignity, because premarital counseling is not for the counselor to affirm your decision as much as it is to discover the things that you and your mate might not be talking about, to make sure and to make a determination that you can say unequivocally that you are aligned and that you are compatible. So I would highly encourage, if you are at the stage in your dating where you're thinking about getting married or it's getting serious, I would encourage premarital counseling just to make sure you guys are on the same page. You'd be surprised what is discovered in those sessions. So just want to throw that out there. So this show is not about marriage and marriage counseling, but this show is about, if you read the title, Why Do Bad Relationships Happen to Good People? Because I want to talk about it, right? I want to talk about what it looks like when you go into it and Nikki, like, I've hit all the steps, says, I know that we're compatible. I like this, I like that. But somewhere down the line, it turned left. And the next, you know, I found myself being mistreated. And I didn't know I did anything wrong to be mistreated. I thought I was the perfect quarter. And I thought I was a perfect courtee, or I thought, you know, I was meeting the needs, and I don't understand why I got mistreated. I got dogged. I got ghosted, whatever happened to you, right? You really are feeling some kind of way about it. Like, I thought I was good. I thought I had God's defining hand on it. So if that be the case, Nikki, why did this bad relationship land on my doorstep? And I think I'm a good person. So I think everybody at one point in time has felt like they've been done unjustly. Everybody at one point in time has felt like they got done unjustly and had no closure, didn't get treated well, whatever your thing is. So we're going to talk about it. I'm going to give you three. It's kind of like three and an A, one A, if you will. So three and a half. Let's say it that way. Three things that I believe bad relationships teach us. Ironically enough, I also believe that good relationships teach us the exact same thing. I know some of y'all are like, that might be messing with your theology a little bit, but if you journey with me, sojourn, if you will, I promise you, I believe that we will arrive to the same place. And I believe that you will be blessed by what you hear. The series in general, from the top of the series until now, is really to cause you to become curious enough to have conversations with yourself, conversations with God, conversation with the person that you're entertaining, so that you can have healthy, God honoring relationships on the back end. That's really what it's about. Now, I know some people think that God doesn't have a vested interest in our happiness. I disagree. I know some people think God doesn't have a vested interest in anything but ministry. I disagree. I believe the apex of our lives is to live a life that honors God and points to the Father, right? I also believe God wants us to have joy on this side of heaven. So with that being said, I want to encourage you to do that as healthily as possible, which includes our relationships. So let's talk about it. Let's get right into it. We're going to talk about three things, three and a half, if you will, things that I believe bad relationships show us and why they happen to good people. Number one, I believe they show us, right? Even good people need growth. Often the area that requires the most growth is what God uses in the relationship to shine a light on in us. In other words, it heightens our awareness. I don't know about you, but I can unequivocally say that five times fast, in times past, I have been in situations where it was only the person I loved or only the person I cared for in an intimate way that could show me or tell me what I could not see, if maybe my cousin said it or my mama said it or my aunt said it. There's something very different about someone who has your heart. And when they say a thing, it hits different. It resonates with your heart different. It's more sensitive because you've given them access to the intimate parts of your heart. I'm not talking about physicality here. I'm talking about literally when you have someone that you hold dear to you. Think about it. You hold dear to you. That means they're close to you. When they're close to you, that means they have the ability to affect you in a different way. That's why lovers' quarrels can be so like crazy. You done seen the people that y'all done all seen the people that riding on top of people's hoods while people trying to drive away. That stuff look wild. I've never been that girl. But when I see that stuff, I'm like, what is going on? It's because a lot of times in those relationships, in a toxic way, people have let people way too far, too fast. And now they have all this hurt because they let someone who they thought was going to be really, really that person to them and like the closest of the close get way too far, too fast. And now they're just like all tore up. So that's a whole different conversation. That's toxicity 101. But I just want to drive home the point that I believe that people who are closest to us have certain privileges to speaking to our heart in ways that most people don't. And because of that, and because God knows that, I believe a lot of times he will use those people or those situations and instances to teach us about us, because he knows that we'll be receptive and that we'll hear it in a different way. Number two, I believe they teach us, and this is, I should say 1A, not really number two, but I believe they teach us what we do and don't want. Again, in teaching us about ourselves and shining a light on some things that we might need to grow, some areas we might need to grow, I believe they teach us what we do and don't want. Everybody listening to this podcast, everybody can say that they dated or were in a relationship, or maybe we're even married, and your spouse or your mate did something and you told yourself, oh, I'm never dating that again, or I'm never marrying that again. On the flip side, there are some people, again, good relationship side, who have done some things that even though it didn't work out with them, you said, oh yeah, I definitely want a spouse who does that, dot, dot. So again, I believe it teaches what we do and don't want. And this is important because we talked about this in another episode. When you go into courtships, when you know what you want and you see that what you're being presented is not what you want, you're less likely to waste your time and theirs. So I think it's highly important, again, when you know what you want, on the front end, you can enter into a conversation, a courtship, a dateship, or whatever you want to call it, and you can unequivocally know, okay, I don't like this, and I'm seeing all of this. So that means this person might not be the best fit for me, or this is what I need for my life spiritually. This is what God showed me, what I need capacity-wise. This person has that capacity. Okay, I think we can go to the next step, or we can sojourn a little bit more, if you will. So again, I think it teaches us what we do and don't want. Number three, I believe they show us God. I believe a bad relationship shows us God in this regard. It shows that we need God, that we need to lean in him, and that he is the only one that can fully sustain and satisfy the whole of us. If we're super honest, a lot of people are looking for love and validation in people when it can only come from God. I say this all the time, and people get upset when they say it or when I say it, but I think people get upset because they feel like, if we're honest, sometimes the ego wants the credit, the ego wants the glory. And the statement I'm about to say is this: when people say, well, you know, I got with her and I was a changed man, or I got with him and I was just a whole new woman. No, sir, no, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. That is not even biblical principle. If people, I've said it for years and I will die on this hill, if people could change people, then what would we need God for? Truly, transfiguration power can only be found in the cross. And I get it. It sounds romantic to be like, they changed me. It sounds noble. It sounds like we're giving them all the gas. I get it. And the ego wants to receive it. I've seen women say, yeah, I got him together when he met me. Before he met me, he was a playboy. And yeah, I tamed that. I got you, sis. I get it. Or a guy was like, yeah, you know, I had to get her in line. I got you. It sounds cool. But if we really are honest, I love us for real, it's ego driven, y'all. It really is. If we're really honest, it is not biblical. Biblical transfiguration, transformation. We can't even change ourselves, y'all. So if we can't even change ourselves, why do we put that much pressure on someone else to change us? What it really is people can inspire us to change. I have met people that made me want to be better because their example was X, Y, and Z, but I've never met anyone that changed me. I've never met anyone that made me. It truly is the work of God. I am the workmanship and the craftsmanship of my Father, and he sends conduits in the form of people who are able to inspire our change, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our leadership, whether it's our friends. They will inspire change, but it's still on me to allow the Holy Spirit to empower me to do the work and to do my own due diligence to enact change. I love us for real, but I just had to say that. Yes, I'm on my soapbox, but I think we wax poetic when we meet someone and be like, oh, I'm a changed man. You made me better. But here's the problem with that theology. If you're saying that they are the ones responsible for making you better, then when you are not better, you will blame them for not making you better. It is not on us to have full ownership of making someone better or worse. It is on us to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us and to be conduits to facilitate his power through us. It is God that does the work. Even when you come as a spouse and you are a helpmate, you are helping someone by way of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, not by just skill set alone. Because anybody could have a skill set, but everybody with a skill set is not compatible with you. Just because someone knows how to cook, sir, does not mean she could be your good wife. It has to be coupled with not just skill, but informed by the Holy Ghost on how to best minister to you in a holistic way, not just in a material or tangible or physical way. Just my two cents. If you agree, let me know. If you don't, hit me up. Where? At Nick, N-I-K-K, last name Washington on Instagram, and Nick Wash on TikTok. Holla at your girl. So yeah, that just want to say that again. It teaches us what we do and don't want. They show us God. They show us the attributes of God, how to lean fully into God. It shows us how to trust God more. When we're like, think about it. It's been said over and over again. And I totally believe it's true. Most people pray the most fervent when they have their back against the wall. And that includes relationships. Some people wasn't going to come back to God unless their heart was broken. If we're super honest, whatever that thing was that had to happen in order for you to return to God, God will do it in order to get you to him. Sometimes he'll break your heart to change your life. I know that sounds crazy. I know some people are like, wait, that messes with my theology. God, he is a good father. You're right. He is a sovereign God. You're right. But good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So just be clear. Just because God loves you and you love him does not mean you are exempt from suffering. And that means all of us. So I just want to encourage you. It doesn't mean that you're exempt, but it does mean that you'll come out better than you went in because you have God with you along the way. Don't believe me. Look at the three Hebrew boys. You will come out better than you went in because you have God all along the way. So I just want to make that abundantly clear. It shows us God in a greater way. And then last but certainly not least, it shows us how to understand one another. So relationships are not just about us, right? Newsflash. It's not just about what I can get and what I can bring and what you gonna show me to so I can make sure you the best thing for me and I'm the best thing for you. Like, we run down this litmus of qualifications. Don't get me wrong. I have standards and my standards are high. We all have a standard, right? And your standard should be whatever it is at a premium to you. But with that being said, it's not just about my standard. It's not just about my requirement of how I want to be treated. It's not just your requirement about how you want to be treated and what someone needs to bring to the table in order to rock with you. It's also about making sure you understand others. So in bad relationships, it might just be about maybe you weren't the best courter or courtee. So maybe it's going to show you how in the next instance you can be a better spouse or a better mate or a better partner for whoever you are purposed to be with. It may just be, hey, you know what? I wasn't the most supportive person in this last relationship. So this shows me how to understand maybe not the person is coming because people are nuanced and unique, but in a general way, I know this is what's required by way of support, or this is what's required by way of making sure I have X, Y, and Z together before I enter a relationship. Whatever that looks like for you, I believe that shows us how to understand others in a general way. Now, I also, let me give this caveat. I am a huge proponent of making people catch all. So in other words, I've always had this philosophy about relationships and desirability and understanding people. And I've always made it very clear, and I joke about it, but I mean it with utmost sincerity. I have never desired to be appealing to everyone, ever. I've never desired to be appealing to everyone universally. Not that there's anything wrong with it. If you do, it's just never been my bend. The reason why is I don't care about what every man likes. I care about what my man likes. So my prayer has always been, God, help me to be what my man needs. I don't care that everybody thinks this is the standard of beauty, or everybody thinks this is the standard of success, or everybody think you're banking. I could care less what everybody says about everybody's career, finance, looks, none of that. I just want to make sure, God, make me what I need to be for my life and for my man, not for everybody else. So with that being said, I shun away from understanding others for the sake of trying to understand the next, because you could understand your ex with all sufficiency and then apply those principles to the person you're going to ultimately be with and be completely wrong because it's two totally different people. So I don't advocate trying to apply general principles to every person, but I do believe there's some general human things that we all contend with and that we need to understand. Case in point, most people attest no one wants to be physically slapped, right? No one wants to be iked and teened, right? That's a general principle. I mean, most people don't. I don't know what y'all got going on out there, but most people in a healthy way don't want to be, you know, abused. That's a general statement that you can understand applies to everybody. But there are some nuanced things that I think we need to be mindful of. And I think in those instances where it will come into play is when you're observant and you ask God to inform you on how to best meet the needs of your partner. Like when you're courting, you're still trying to get to understand people, know people, and figure out who's for you, who's not. When you are in a marriage, it's God, help me to fully understand how to minister to my spouse in a way that benefits them best, not in a way that I have done from my past, not how I've applied it to other relationships, not what I think is even best. But God, what does this man need? Fellas, what does this woman need? How do I best minister to them to give them what they need? Because if we're together, that means I have the capacity to minister to that place. So help me to understand them in a greater way so that we can have a healthy relationship. So again, we're just talking about the three things of what it really means and what you really learn from relationships, good and bad. Why do bad relationships happen to good people? One, again, let's talk about it, is because they show us us. Two, because they teach us what we do and don't want, or 2A, if you will. Three, they show us God. Four, and last but not least, they show us how to understand one another. I think I quoted Bishop Tudor Bismarck in another show, but I think it fits here again, how he talked about relationships are currency. And he talked about the relating ship. He broke the word down and said, meaning you have something I need, I have cargo you need, and we meet in the middle along the way. And I believe that's the crux of relationships. I believe relationships ultimately are supposed to point to the glory of God. And it's supposed to be a pantomime of how God loves us. But two, I believe that there is supposed to be some joy, some fulfillment. I don't think it's all laborious and work. There's supposed to be some joy. And three, I believe that we are supposed to be healthy, whole, and happy in every sense of the word. And that includes our relationships and our connections. So my hope, my desire for you this whole series long, I've been saying it and I'll say it one last time, is that you will understand God's original design for relationships, that you will enter in relationships thoughtfully, that you will have healthy, God-honoring relationships, and that God will get glory out of your connecting, that people might come to know Jesus in a better way. That's it, and that's all. And my prayer is that as you enter, you'll find what's for you right when God has it for you. So I hope this show blessed you. I hope this series blessed you. If it did, if you want to hear a little bit more, holler at your girl, let me know. Next week, we're going into a whole new space. I'm going back to my original production. I might even have a little video something for you there coming down the line. Just, you know, wait on it. Wait on you, girl. But yeah, so it's going to be good. And I'm excited about what God is doing. As always, you know where I can be found. It's Nick Wash on TikTok. It's Nick Washington on Instagram. And as always, you're listening to Let Me Find Out.